What's up, everybody? This is Colin from sportscardradio.com. We're here live at the, well, not really live, you're listening to this recorded, but we're here at the Palms Place Casino, absolutely gorgeous suite with like a three-headed shower. There's like a bathtub in one of the bedrooms. We're sitting at like the wet bar. It's just a gorgeous suite that we're in, so we're very privileged to be here and very lucky to be in Las Vegas. And I'm probably going to be lucky to go out and blow about $100 tonight at the poker table. But I just spent the last hour and a half, 2 hours in the initial Sports Card Summit meeting, and that's why we're here, at the Orleans Casino in Las Vegas. And it was rather interesting. We have my brother here as well.
That's right. How we doing, everybody?
So my brother's all pumped up. We got my buddy coming into town here in about an hour. So we're going to, this is just going to be kind of our initial thoughts, my initial thoughts of going to the summit. Probably the most exciting thing for me was that I just, like literally 25, 30 minutes ago, I just shook Dennis Rodman's hand.
Wow.
I ended up getting his autograph. And I think a lot of people would find that rather exciting. I think that has some value. We'll end up giving it away. If you're listening to the show, we probably will have given it away by the time you listen to it. But we may have not. That'll be a prize you can look forward to either probably on our fan forum. We'll post it on there. But the most exciting thing for me, I loved it. I saw him on The Apprentice. Just to go off topic, I saw him on The Apprentice. I saw that Dennis had some, I wouldn't call him issues, but he had some troubles in his life, and he was looked like he was dealing with them, and it was an honor to meet him after watching him play basketball, after watching his career, watching him on TV, and just being able to shake his hand was amazing, on top of getting his autograph. So that was really cool, being literally 2 inches away from Dennis Rodman and getting to shake his hand. He actually extended his hand out to mine, so I was very, I don't know if I'll be able to go to sleep tonight. Just shaking Dennis Rodman's hand. That's coming from a Lakers fan, too, so that's saying a lot.
What are the odds that you think we can get Dennis to come back up into the suite? I mean, this is a suite that may... I mean, Dennis would probably have a little bit nicer suite in this, but this is an expensive suite. Maybe we can get Dennis up here with some ladies or something.
Right, I was going to say, that's probably the only way we can get Dennis into our suite is if we have ladies in the suite already. Because Dennis is probably doing okay with the ladies and the suite, so we'll see. And there was even a guy... As I was riding down the elevator or the escalator from the casino that we were at, and I was like looking at the Dennis Rodman autograph, and I had a big smile on my face. And he says, "You know, too bad Dennis is probably in the hole on the craps table after after the autograph signing." But we'll see. I know Dennis was trying to make some life changes and things like that. I don't know if eliminating gambling was his thing, but it was just a really cool thing to do is meet Dennis. But that's not what we're here to talk. Even though that was kind of the highlight of the end of the show, there was a long session of like a bunch of hobbies, mainly all hobby. I was like the only one that in there that aside from the wives and some of the other people in there unaffiliated with card stores, I was one of the only people in there that didn't own a card store. Now, obviously, if you listen to the show, you know that I'm still in a close to five, actually literally 5 figures in debt because of my sports card shop. So I believe that I do have probably some good
stuff. Wait a second. We're staying in a suite that costs, I don't even want to say how much it costs here. This suite is bigger than our apartment, and our apartment's not small by any stretch of the imagination. How are we 5 figures in debt, but we're staying in a suite? Well, maybe we'll just leave that mysteriously out.
Well, not to go too much into our finances while we're here in Las Vegas, but luckily we don't owe the money to a bank. Let's just
There we go.
Otherwise, we'd be sitting in jail, maybe.
Don't borrow money from a bank, ever.
Right. Unless it's for a house or a car, I would consider that probably an okay investment. But we're getting off topic. Let's get to the – do you have any questions, Ryan? I know you weren't there. Maybe you have some questions, and then I'll go into maybe some other things that you might not ask me about.
I'm curious about – since it's all really hobby shop owners there, I don't know if any of the big retailers are there, some of the exclusive online sellers that are really popular on the internet, but maybe not so popular with – some of the hobby shop owners. So I guess I want to kind of, what's the tone there? Is it a positive tone? Is it a progressive tone? Are people excited? Are people upset? I guess what's the tone? You know, we got a huge, I mean, how many hobby shops are there in the United States? Barely any. What is the tone? So we have over 100 people, hobby shop owners. What's the tone kind of of just kind of generally of those guys who own those shops?
Great question. And I would say, you know, not to go into everything that was said in that, because I believe that if you want to know what was said in that room, you probably should fork over the 379. But that's not why I did it. I forked over the 379 to tell you guys about it. So I will say some things. It's all mom and pop brick and mortar hobby shops for the most part that were there today. Obviously, that might change going forward. There was another guy that actually stood up and said he is looking to compete online and get it. You know, he says it's not 1990 anymore. It's 2011. People have iPhones. People have the internet. People buy a lot of stuff on the internet. In fact, they buy billions of dollars stuff. So there's no reason why we should just stick to strict brick and mortar. And I think some of that conversation could be used more. But to answer your question, what the tone actually was very positive. Obviously, tonight we were presenting, everybody was presenting like constructive ideas. It wasn't really a solution center session. It was more presenting ideas. It was a lot of talk on redemptions, a lot of talk on margins, a lot of talk on allocation, something that as a buyer we don't really talk about a lot. There was a lot of talk about, there was just a lot of talk about lots of different things from, you know, major online retailers such as Blowout Cards and DA hurting mom-and-pop businesses. There was a lot of talk about the manufacturers not communicating enough with the hobby stores. And these are the people that are their biggest buyers. And I will say one comment that came out from the guy that leads it. He said that all the people in the room actually have more buying power than a Walmart and a Target. And all those people in there are more important to Tops and Upper Deck and Panini than Target and Walmart are. Because Target and Walmart, I mean, they're more interested in selling socks and T-shirts and video games than they are selling $2.99 packs of cards. So these people are the heart of the business, and I think that was the tone, that these people want to get the attention from these companies. And there was also a lot of talk on growth and how to grow the hobby, how to get more buyers in. And those were some of the best comments where the people, you know, we didn't talk about solutions. And hopefully I'll be able to maybe contribute some things, and maybe I'll be able to pick some things up from other people and hopefully contribute. That's, I mean, that's the whole reason why we started Sports Card Radio, was to increase the hobby, increase people collecting, keep people in the hobby. I think people do get into the hobby. It's keeping them there. I don't think we have a biggest problem as drawing people in. I think a lot of people have collected cards over their lifetime. It's keeping them there and keeping them in the hobby, which is the main thing. And I think value was another thing that was discussed a lot, was like how much, you know, a guy buys one guy talked about last week, a guy came in and bought $800 worth of cards, and he said he literally left with about $70 worth of cards. He said he made an $800 sale. I don't know if we ever had made an $800 sale in 2.5 years.
Yeah, we'd still be in business, maybe.
Right. I mean, like one $800 sale is huge. So he had a great sale, but the fact that it was, you know, he was disappointed with the sale. Another interesting point was there was an older gentleman that owns a hobby store, and then he had a younger kid that had been there for about 5 or 6 years. He was only about 22, 23 years old. So he's worked there since he was 16. He said he made a great point. He said he had to BS a lot of the customers about products that come out and say how great they are, how they should be buying them over something else or over last year's product or even 2 years ago, and how that's not really the case, and how he feels bad about it, and how it wasn't not always the case, although I think you, as a owner of a store, you're always selling something. Even if you're selling Porsches, you know, spending $90,000 on a car is not always the best idea. So you're always selling in this business, but you don't want to BS and you don't want to sugarcoat things. So there was a lot of talk on that. And I'll finish my point with saying maybe one of the biggest points was margin. And basically the two, we don't need to mention them, but the two biggest online retailers basically kill it for any mom and pop shop around the country, because as one guy most eloquently put it. We were going around the room. Everybody was talking. He said he was about to close his door. He says customers come into his store, bust out their iPhone or BlackBerry, and bring up DA Card World or BlowoutCardWorld.com and says, here's the price for 2011 Topps Heritage. How can you match this? Wow. And he can't because he's in Florida. I mean, he said he owned a whole store in Florida. And anybody that knows commercial real estate prices, it's probably pretty expensive there. It's really expensive in California. It's probably the most expensive outside maybe New York. It's really expensive in California. So none of us can compete with these people. So a lot of information. I will say there was lots of hints that lots of information and lots of things were to come on that to come in the coming days. But then again, a lot of guys brought up that was the message last year, that they were going to try to weed out some of these, you know, blowout cards, basically, from undercutting everybody's prices. It didn't happen last year. We'll see if it happens this year. That's probably the most interesting thing I'm looking forward to during this conference, is what happens to these online retailers going forward, because people were pissed about it last year, and they want solutions now. Now that the ideas were brought up last year, they want solutions this year.
That's very interesting, and I even saw blowout cards tweet the other day that he was actually going to open a retail location. I think he has a warehouse. I don't know for sure. I have never been there, but I believe he has a warehouse, probably fairly large, that he's going to open up a retail segment in the back end. And you got to think that's a direct kind of way that he's hoping he stays in good with the distributors and the manufacturers. And so, you know, that is very, very interesting. And I know we didn't, you know, we say we had a card store. We kind of had a store that sold other things.
We sold a lot more money on hats and jerseys and things like that.
We had a very small segment of our store was for cards, but we've sold online over the years, kind of on online auctions, on eBay and stuff. And, you know, it's very clear. It's very, very clear that these guys who are running a hobby shop, you and I know how expensive it is to run a hobby shop. You're talking about thousands of dollars in bills each month, no matter how cheap you go at. And you know, Colin and I are some of the thriftiest guys around. We did it from the skin of our teeth. We opened this store and did it with about as least amount of money as possible and without any kind of help whatsoever. And I know for a fact that there's no way you can compete in this market if you can only mark up boxes 5%, 10%, and you're paying $1,200, $1,500, $2,000, just your rent payment. Not to mention your internet bill, your phone bill, insurance, all the other things associated. Having inventory stacked on the shelf, having thousands and thousands of dollars of inventory left in your store, advertising, all this stuff that goes into it. How are you going to do that making 5%? You don't. It's impossible. You can't do it. So clearly, something needs to be done to help out these people. I'm not saying shut out the internet market, but something needs to be done, because how can you sell a box on the internet for X price, but you go into a store and you have to sell it for more? You have to sell it for more. That's why all these hobby shops have been drying up, is because there's no way you can make it in this industry making 5 to 10% on a box. Okay, if you have 100 people coming in every day and you can pack out product and make all this money packing out products, that's a great way to go, but that's hard to do. You got to have the clientele. You got to have location. And what does location cost? That costs a ton of money in any kind of well-populated mall situation. If you even in where we live, which Forbes said was the most miserable city in the entire world, if you go to the mall where we live, the most miserable city in the entire world, you're talking about a rent payment of $3,000 plus. So if you open a card store in the mall, before you do anything, you're cutting a check for $3,000 per month for that rent, not including your other own personal expenses. So clearly something needs to be addressed here. It will be interesting to see as you attend this conference over the course of this week to see if there are any solutions. Is it just a lot of talk? I know I heard a lot of this same kind of talk last year.
Right.
And some things I think did get implemented. I know Upper Deck has come out with a thing where they're going to have authorized internet retailers. They're going to only have, I believe, 4 United States distributors and 1 person in Canada, I believe, that you can buy products within the first 90 days of their release from Upper Deck. So say when 2011 Upper Deck football comes out, I believe in April. That first 90 days, you are not going to be able to purchase that product from somebody who is not an authorized internet retailer or has a hobby shop. So that's very interesting. I don't know how they're going to be able to control that. I don't know how they're going to be able to manage that. They say they hired somebody who's going to be detecting fraud and all that other sort. Again, that's something I'm sure they're going to address at this conference. But let's get off kind of I don't want to call it negative, but some of the maybe issues that are controversial kind of issues going on. Let's talk about I just want you to hit on maybe one or two things that you kind of like light bulb went on your head. Somebody said something when everybody was going around discussing something, just something that made you think, oh, wow, that you know, maybe you had thought about it, or maybe they put it in a way that made you think about it in a different light, but maybe something that was just like, ooh, that, you know, something that really kind of sparked your interest.
I think a couple things. Some of the things that I had an experience in a couple while from being outside the business was the communication between shops and the companies, you know, Upper Deck, Panini, Tops, doesn't seem like they communicate very well with these mom-and-pop businesses. And many of them order lots of cases and lots of product from these companies. Another thing that touched on me was out of the, I think there was about 160 people in the room, I would say on one hand, obviously nobody, we weren't going around giving sales reports and stuff, but only a handful of people said that they were doing really well, that these last couple years have been their best years ever. Most people were saying not that they were going to go out of business. There was a few gentlemen that said that they were very close to going out of business. But a lot of them said that they weren't doing as well as they could have been. Margins was touched on. Redemptions was touched on. A lot of hobby shop owners were saying, get rid of redemptions altogether. Get rid of it. Several, I think about 5 or 6 people said, get rid of redemptions altogether. If the guy can't sign or if you can't put in the product, why are you making me sell it? Well, I think that's a little far stretch to get to a kind of a solution session here. I think that's a little far stretch. And I even said that in front of everybody. I was one of the last people to speak because I was kind of standing. I didn't know anybody there. I was kind of standing in the corner of the room. But I finally got my moment to speak. And I kind of said that, you know, not having redemption cards is impossible. I'd much rather have, if Upper Deck or Topps or Panini thinks they're going to have Adrian Peterson sign and they think it's better than 50% that he'll sign after the season or whenever his wife has the kid or whatever's keeping him from signing, I think put the redemption in. I'd much rather have it be Adrian Peterson than even someone like Marquise Colston. Marquise Colston's a great wide receiver, great player, but why the hell would I want his redemption autograph? Adrian Peterson redemption? That now we're talking. But my main point was, and I know many of you have said this on the forum and have emailed me, the main thing I wanted people to understand was they need to extend the redemptions. They need to make them 4, 5, 6 years. Panini, Tops, Upper Deck, all have taken well over 2 years, sometimes longer than that. Many of you know from personal experiences, they take more than 2 years, 3 years, 4 years sometimes to redeem a card for you. Sometimes they never even redeem it. And the fact that you can't redeem them a year and a half, 2 years after the fact is just a joke. The fact that they can wait 2, 3, 4, however long they want to send you the card, doesn't matter if you send it in the day you got it. The day after the product comes out, you get the redemption, you send it. It could be 4 years later until you get it. It doesn't matter to them. But And I think that it ties in with margins. It ties in with being able to sell product. It ties in with not having to BS customers and saying, hey, if you pull this Adrian Peterson autograph, you better send it in within the redemption expiry window. And if you purchase the box, and you better not purchase boxes a year and a half, 2 years after they come out, because all the redemptions inside are going to be expired. Blake Griffin, redemptions from 09-10 basketball, which were thousands of dollars. I don't know how many there are out there, but there are plenty of redemptions, I'm sure, of his out there are worth nothing. So I shouldn't say that. If you contact these companies, it's possible they work something out. But we have a couple cases on our forum just recently about collectors that have pulled redemption cards, and they've gotten kind of a shady answer or a shaky answer back from the company saying, we'll do the best for you. And we're talking about Joe Montana and Derek Jeter autographs. We're not talking about, you know,
Marquise Colson.
You know, a Super Bowl champion. But, I mean,
so I would assume that what you just explained and the problem with these redemptions expiring in a short window, would you say that 99% of the card shop owners in that room agreed with that, that the window is too short, and or would they just need to eliminate them totally? Or maybe it's unanimous.
I think most of them want to eliminate it totally, but I think if you sat down and talked with them, and I think if they were to talk with maybe the companies a little bit, and then maybe actually hear from collectors. I know collectors hate redemptions, but what they really hate about redemptions are ones that they send in within the redemption period, and they don't get redeemed. Mm-hmm. And what they also hate is buying a box a year or 2 years, or sometimes just a year and 6 months after it comes out, and you get a Derek Jeter autograph, or you get Joe Montana, or you get a tight player, and you can't redeem it. That's what they hate, and that's what kills this hobby. A lot of people talked about growth, bringing new people in, bringing all kinds of people in. What we need to do, everybody's collected. Everybody we know is collected. My dad, my mom, everybody I know. My sister even collected cards for a while. It's keeping them in the hobby. It's keeping them collecting. If you get burned, it's just like if you go and buy a Kia, a brand new Kia, and that's not to hate it. Kia actually makes good cars, but it's not like a Mercedes. A Mercedes is going to go down in price when you drive it off the lot, but far less than most, maybe not Kias, but every new car. Somebody even brought up that example. You go to a new car dealership, you drive it off the lot, you just lost 30%. But you need a car. You need a car to drive from point A to point B to make money, to get to your job, to get your kids to school.
Right.
You don't need cards.
Right.
You don't need to spend $100 on a box of cards. And if you spend $100 and you get $20 back consistently, it's not about making money on every purchase, but if you consistently get crap hit, crap box, crap redemptions,
right,
crap redemptions that don't get exchanged for anything, or ones that are for Derek Jeter and Joe Montana, and you end up getting Marquise Colson back, that's not good for the hobby. That's going to drive people out, and it's sure as hell not going to bring new people in.
Right, and we're not talking about open a $100 box and get 20 cards back that you sell. We're talking about people, and we had people who come into our shop who were the same way. They'd come in and buy cards and never sell them, never trade them.
They don't even know how to sell them.
Yeah, they would feel burned. They know when they're getting a crap autograph, when they you know, spend $120 on a box and get just slapped, you know, a single color jersey and a sticker autograph of some fourth round pick. They know they got slapped, and they don't have any intention to sell, but they still feel burned. They still feel cheated, and that's something I'm sure, you know, all this discussion and stuff, and all these hobby shop guys who are here, and the manufacturers are here, and people promoting the hobby are here. It's fantastic. And the fact that there is a debate going on, or a discussion going on, or people trying to come to solutions, that is crucial to this hobby. And the fact that people maybe even disagree on topics and can kind of constructively argue about certain topics, this is all good for the hobby. This is all good. I cannot stress that enough, is having these discussions, having these conferences, whether it's in Las Vegas, whether it's in Los Angeles, whether it's in Stockton, California. These are things that are important, and it's important to get these ideas on the table while all these people are here, and a lot of these people share the same kind of problems in this industry. And all types of industries have these similar problems with margin and with where to buy your product. And, oh, the internet is undercutting my price. and oh, you can get things on Amazon cheaper. That these are things across all industries. So the fact that you know, whoever organizes this thing, I know Kevin Isaacson.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I mean, I forgot his name, but yes.
God bless that guy, because this is so crucial that at least these ideas are being put on the table. And I know last year there was a lot of discussion about the kind of the internet retailing and margins and so forth. So the fact that we're still, you know, we're still talking about it, the problems are still on the table, that is a good thing that we're having this discussion. And I don't think anybody should feel slighted or feel like, you know, bad guys and good guys. We're all good guys. We're all trying to promote the hobby. Even the guys who are, you know, running out boxes where they make 50 cents a box. And believe me, that's about how much they're making on some of this stuff.
Well, sometimes they dump it and they lose money.
Right.
But because what is going on eBay, they have to compete with eBay. And if it's getting dumped on eBay, then they have to lower it. But to finish off your point there, Kevin made a great point right at the end. And he said, you know, to finish off your point where you said, hey, it's great to have these conversations. It's great to get together. But he made a great point. He says, let's take this and be professional about it. Yeah. Let's take our ideas, not bitch and moan, not just complain, not just say, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, and never have a solution, never compromise, never give any credence or any credit to where it's due sometimes, because Topps, Panini, blowout cards, DA cards, they all do positive things for this hobby. Lower prices are not really a bad thing. It's what consumers demand. And so these companies are, the internet retailers are delivering that. Whether or not it creates competitive playing field is an argument, but it's an argument that we need to bring to the table in a professional manner, and we need to talk about it. We need to be able to compromise with, we can't just put companies out of business, because we don't want that happening to, if I owned a card shop, I wouldn't want Blowout putting me out of business, but if I was Blowout Cards, I sure as hell wouldn't want 160 people put in a room and trying to figure out how to put me out of business.
Right. Exactly. Yes.
And I think that we can work together. Another guy, like I already said, brought up that it's 2011. I don't know why you can't set up. I set up a website, sportscardradio.com. We run on much more expensive servers now, but we were running our site for $5 a month, and we were getting 1,000 people a day coming to our site. They weren't buying anything or anything like that, but it wouldn't have been a problem setting up for them to buy products, buy single cards. I even got an email today about a gentleman that wants to buy cards from me, and I don't sell cards. So
we don't have any cards for sale.
Right, and that's fine. I appreciate those emails, and if I did have cards, trust me, I would. If I had wholesale license and I could buy wholesale, trust me, guy, I would be trying to sell to you guys, but I'm out of that. I'm out of the whole buying and selling business
forever.
It's buying stocks. That's the only thing that's worth buying and selling. We could have argument. People probably come on here and argue me about that point, but I'll crush that usually. But I want to say that Kevin made a great point right at the end, and he was like, "Let's be professional about this. Definitely. Let's just not go to Tops and be like your stuff is garbage. Panini, you got too many stickers and redemptions and whatever. You know, hey, let's do some constructive criticism." One idea that just popped in my head, a great idea. This was a great idea. Basically selling on different price points. He brought up the idea how you can go to a Target and buy a blaster for $20. That's a great price point for a kid. Whereas, let's just take Hot Topps Heritage, which had its own other conversations within here because it got released at Walmart and Target before it went to hobby shops. That made obviously a lot of people mad. But the main point was, and I almost forgot my point now, but
different price points.
Yeah, different price points. And that's a great point. The hobby shop always has to sell the $7,500 box, whereas Target always gets the $20. He says, let's have a hobby blaster.
Yes.
Have a four-pack blaster that the kids can come in there and buy. He says it looks better than just buying four packs. If it's in a box, if it's package difference. Nike has $20 shoes, but Nike has $60 shoes. Nike has $80 shoes. Nike also has $180 shoes that come in a Jordan box. And same with if you go to a store and you have store brand, there is no store brand making that. That's Kellogg's making that cereal. That's Scope filling that store brand. That's Tums filling that store brand. You know, there's no small company out there that can crush what Tums does or crush what Johnson & Johnson does. They just sell at different price points under a different label because there's people that'll buy the label name and there's people that'll buy the cheap brand. It's the same thing. People don't realize that there's no Sunny Select or whatever store brand you have. There's no store out there that could compete with Nike and all these big companies. It's the same company. And I don't understand why Topps has a hobby and a retail and right. why hobby always has to sell at the high price point. And the, yes. you know, and that goes in with bringing new customers, bringing the kids back, adding value, yes. giving more options to collectors. That was a great, that was maybe one of the best points
and,
I heard all
And day. Also making it, I know every time we had to order cards, we had to drop $400,000 or $500,000. You know, we had to drop all this money and we'd end up with what? 4 or 5 boxes. Whereas if I could buy hobby boxes at $25 each or $30 each, a half box at $50 or whatever, chop it up more so that when I get my order in, boom, I got 40 boxes.
Right, you know, for $600. You know, you have the 24-pack box of Heritage for $75. Why not have a 12, the exact same box, half the hits, 12 packs for $35? I think I would buy it.
I know we
would do it for box breaks because I can't afford, I'm sitting in a box. I can't really buy it.
We should get a live shot of this suite because I don't think anybody
But like we've already, people know our financial situation. We're not rich. We don't make a lot of money. I can't afford $100 boxes for box breaks. I certainly can't afford $100 boxes for myself or for my nephews that I want starting to collect cards. I can afford $20 here and there. I can afford $30 here and there. But if you want people to come to this hobby day after day, week after week, it can't be for the $150 box. It can't be for, you know, you're competing for such a small market there. Whereas if you open it up a little bit, I think it would be much more competitive. We'd get more people involved.
So this is great. We've talked for 30 minutes here. We're in Las Vegas. We're in a suite. We got to wrap this up. It's what time is it right now?
8:43.
Oh, my God. I mean, the strip is about to go off. It's Sunday night in Vegas. We're going to go party with D-Rob. We're going to go find Phil Ivey and whoever we can find. Jean-Robert Ballon. Let's go party.
We're definitely going to go party, but expect you had our two voices on here. My phone was lit. I didn't come prepared to the show. I actually didn't expect to have as much one. I thought it was just a check-in and kind of a brief thing, but I would have had time to get some one-on-one interviews today. Expect later in this week, I'm going to charge my phone, make sure it's 100% when I take it to the conference so we can have, I'll bring my charger as well so I can get some one-on-one interviews with people so you don't just hear me regurgitating or my brother asking me questions. We're going to get it straight from these people's mouths. And I wish I had written down whose ideas these were, but I'm sure as I talk to people over the course of the week, we'll get these ideas back out and we'll give credit to where credit's due. We're also going to go, I also got Legends. While I'm here, I might as well plug Legacy Sports Cards in Las Vegas, Nevada, on the corner of West Sahara Avenue and Cinnamoron. It's in Las Vegas. Their telephone number is 702-341-6525. We'll be visiting this shop later this week. And we'll do a live box break from there. We'll bring our camera. We'll stream it on Justin TV, whatever we got to do. We'll have a live box break, and we'll give some cards away from here. And there'll probably be some other little partnerships that we do. There was another hobby shop owner I met today from Sacramento that I'll touch bases with later in the week. So you have a lot to look forward to. We just wanted to get this out to you, get our ideas flowing. You know, try to get them out of my head after I shook D-Rob's hand. I kind of forgot everything that went on the conference. So I'm glad we talked about this, kind of refresh my memory. But that about wraps it up for today's little segment. We only got about, I don't know if I'm going to put this out.
Vegas!
Yeah, Vegas. my brother's ready to go, so we better get out of here. But there'll be plenty more this week. So thanks for listening. We'll be back.